Could it possibly be that Ruby Frankie is just another individual on the long list of clients, victims of Jody Hildebrand? We're not going to let her off that easy, but I do wonder a bit about how much of the twisted thinking and how much of the extreme behaviors are that a reflection of Jody Hildebrand and not necessarily Ruby Frankie. Now that we've just seen so many reviews of the manipulation that allegedly came out of the practice of Jody Hildebrand, the amount of relationships she destroyed and ruined, I wonder if Ruby kind of fell into this. I mean, she was seeing her as a therapist, and then eventually everything went to shit, and they almost kind of, I don't want to say shacked up, but they ended up in the same building, the same place, it seems, living together. And I want to say this, too, because they had a very, and I have no idea what went on in that relationship with those two, but they were very over the top against homosexuality.
Like, well, and isn't it the ones who screamed the loudest?
Who happened to be, like, living in a setting that could be construed as maybe this is a relationship, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But the ones that scream the loudest sometimes are the ones that are like, oh, you're really like, you're ashamed of yourself into such an extreme. So you better shame everybody else so nobody points a finger at you because you view this thing that is not shameful as being shameful. I don't know. I'm curious. That's just my observation there.
Well, and I think it's a good observation because we see it a lot in the press. You know, those who are screaming the loudest, suddenly we find out they've got exactly those skeletons hiding in their closet. So, you know, was there some shame to it somehow in their lives that this was not something that they should or could be doing? And who knows? They could have just been really close friends.
Yeah, well, their religion very much is not pro that.
Right.
Ruby Frankie's fall from grace, of course, sent shockwaves through the millions who faithfully followed her family-centric Eight Passengers YouTube channel. The discovery of one of her six children, emaciated, covered in sores, and bound with duct tape in Santa Clara, Utah, raised alarm bells and ended her career as a YouTube influencer. Frankie had always portrayed a picture-perfect life. The Mormon mom appeared as if she led a loving, nurturing family life with a husband and big brood of children, said a longtime viewer. However, that facade crumbled when alarming details emerged about her association with the controversial therapist, Jody Hildebrand. According to sources close to Frankie, her demeanor began to shift after she started her association with Hildebrand. A friend of Frankie for over two decades revealed to the publication called Page Six, Ruby's values took a drastic turn. Suddenly, she was telling lies and becoming increasingly distant, cutting off her family with seemingly no explanation. Jody Hildebrand was well known in Santa Clara as a licensed therapist through her organization, Connections. The institution pitched itself as an online educational platform designed to help individuals navigate relationship challenges, anxiety, and more. However, beneath this respectable exterior, darker currents flowed. Hildebrand and Frankie's close relationship led to random speculation, with some even drawing parallels to Thelma and Louise. As the duo ventured on numerous trips together, rumors started to swirl about the nature of their relationship. Randy S. Kester, who represented Frankie's husband Kevin, stated that while there were murmurs, I don't have any concrete evidence of a romantic relationship other than some video content that showed them holding hands. Oh, holy shit. It does go down that road. I wasn't even expecting that. I was just giving my prediction. And now as we go through this, I'm not alone. Frankie's husband, Kevin, who was previously a professor at Brigham Young University, echoed these sentiments. He believed that his wife's association with Hildebrand significantly impacted their marital relationship. Frankie became more distant, frequently leaving Kevin to care for their children while she traveled on business with Hildebrand. Kester reportedly said that Kevin was supportive, hoping that these trips were part of Ruby's self-development journey. Julie Drew, one of Frankie's sisters, expressed her discomfort with Hildebrandt's teachings. "We were concerned about the messages Ruby started to propagate at family gatherings. They felt alien and contrary to what we knew." Indeed, as time went on, Frankie's content began shifting. Once filled with wholesome family moments, her channels were gradually dominated by Hildebrandt with topics such as tactics of deception, establishing a truth declaration, and discourages against lust. This is where they get into the gay stuff, where they're very much, oh, this is bad. Oh, look bad. The crux of the concerns revolved around connections, dubious counseling practices. Kevin Frankie himself was roped into a men's group supported by Hildebrandt. For over a year, he was subjected to what many describe as emotional manipulation, being labeled greedy, narcissistic, and selfish.
Okay.
It's just crazy what they're doing. Like, these are the most greedy, narcissistic, and selfish bitches that we've seen in a long time.
It feels really textbook, doesn't it?
But all they do is they just push that onto everybody else. Even though they are, they're going to make you think that that's what they are, or that that's what you are, to gaslight you. That's, you
know, well, it's projection. Get the spotlight off of me, because I'm the one who's got the problem. So I need to turn around, make sure everybody thinks you're the one with the problem.
Exactly. That's what a fucking narcissist does. These sessions were believed to be driving force behind Kevin's decision to move out, a move purportedly influenced by Hildebrandt. However, perhaps the most shocking revelation came from Jesse Hildebrandt, Jody's niece. In a heart-wrenching interview, she detailed her traumatic experience while in Jody's care as a teenager. Her stories of being tied up, blindfolded, and isolated for hours echoed the harrowing ordeal faced by Frankie's child. Jesse declared, "Jody firmly believes that shame should be punished severely." Pam Broadster, described as Jody's surveillance, was another figure deeply involved in connections. Jesse hinted at her complicit role, painting a picture of an intricate web of manipulation and control. The dark saga, of course, culminated in August when the police were called to check on one of Frankie's children. The subsequent investigation unveiled disturbing truths about what had transpired behind closed doors. One of Ruby Frankie's friends summed it up quite nicely, saying, "While Ruby is not innocent, I believe there's hope for her to be rehabilitated. Jody, however, is a different story." I think, again, this is just speculation, I think Jody very much had a thing for Ruby, very much knew how to manipulate people, roped her in, made her think she was the smartest person in the world, and... oh, we're doing the right thing here. And eventually it ended the way it ended. Ruby certainly holds accountability. She's an adult. She's a mother. And if she's subjecting her children to the horrible behavior and what was going on with Hildebrandt, she needs to face justice for that. But I do wonder how much Jody Hildebrandt preyed on Ruby Frankie. With her YouTube channel wanting to kind of propel herself off of Ruby's fame and Ruby's following that she had garnered, and then at the same time isolate her from her family so that she could have her all to herself.
Well, and I've also read that Ruby Frankie had cut off her family, and isolated herself. And if you look at this, this is what a lot of abusers, quote-unquote, alleged abusers do, is they make you think that your family is freaking nuts and that they're not good for you. So then you cut yourself off from them so that you're more isolated and you need the abuser more. So it's kind of fitting a pattern here.
It's exactly what I think happened. And I think it started out as, oh, we're friends and we're, kindred spirits and this or that. But I think Jody all along had a thing where she wanted Ruby in a relationship sort of way, not a just friends, but I think Jody is harboring a desire to have her as a romantic partner.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Yeah. And then
it sounds like an educated guess. It sounds like things are leaning in that direction.
And then I think the water started slowly boiling around Ruby and she didn't realize it. until she was part of the stew, and just had to kind of keep going with that without breaking character, whatever. I don't know. Very twisted story, but I do think we're going to hear a lot more about the manipulation inside this case. It'll be interesting to see if they turn on each other at some point. If Ruby does stand up and go, look, I know I fucked up, but I do have to say how I got here. And there's a lot to say about Jody. Or if Jody's going to try and flip and blame everything on Ruby. But my guess is it will go the Ruby blaming Jody route. We'll just have to watch and see as this train wreck continues to barrel off the cliff.
You're locked into the Hidden Killers podcast.
Want more? Start binging on all of our true crime podcasts right now through Apple Podcasts and get an ad-free experience when you sign up to be a True Crime Today Premium Plus member exclusively on Apple Podcasts.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast dropping soon.
Press subscribe now.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.